السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So today inshallah is the 79th session of Seerah Khatam al-Nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the blessed seerah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's been a few weeks, so we'll do a review and then we'll continue on inshallah with our next part. So last time, I think it was the first week of Ramadan or second week of Ramadan, we talked about the Shuhada of Uhud. We talked about the Shuhada of Uhud and some of the more famous and known names of Sahaba that were killed or martyred on the day of Uhud, on the Battle of Uhud. So we talked about one of the most famous about them, from them, is Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib. This is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we talked about how he was killed by, you could say, a hitman, Wahshi radiallahu anhu, who later became Muslim. He was hired to kill Hamza radiallahu anhu. So we talked about that in detail. Another of the Sahaba that were killed in the Battle of Uhud was Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu. And he was the one, we talked about how he was the first ambassador of Islam to Medina Munawwara. He was sent to teach the people, and many of the Ansar became Muslim on the hands of Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu. Also another Sahabi by the name of Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu. And what's particular about him, we talked about how the narration of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, he says that before the battle took place, we both sat down and we made a dua, and we said Ameen to each other's duas. So he said that Sa'd radiallahu anhu made a dua that, "Oh Allah, I want to face a fierce enemy of Islam, and I want to defeat that enemy in the battle." And Abdullah radiallahu anhu said Ameen to this dua. And Abdullah radhiallahu anhu made a dua that, "Oh Allah, let me face a fierce enemy of Islam, and let him kill me, and let my body be mutilated by the enemies." And Sa'd radhiallahu anhu made dua. He said Ameen to this dua. And later on, Sa'd radhiallahu anhu said that the dua of Abdullah radhiallahu anhu was better than my dua. Another Sahaba that passed away. We're not going to go over every 70. There was about 70 Sahaba that were shaheed, the Shuhada of Uhud. For example, Anas ibn Nadr radiallahu anhu, he also was one of those who passed away. And it's mentioned that he was, while the Muslims were confused, many of the Sahaba were confused and didn't know what to do next. And they were being attacked from all sides. Some of the Sahaba had sat down, and Anas ibn Nadr radiallahu anhu, this is the uncle of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He came and he was running towards the enemy, and he saw the Muslims sitting there. He said that, "Where are you guys doing? Like, where are you guys going? Where are you guys doing?" And they said that, you know, the Prophet has passed away. So he said, "Then what's the point of us remaining if the Prophet has passed away?" So he went himself, jumped into the thick of battle, into the enemy, and he had over 80 cuts and wounds. And also he said that, "I smelled the fragrance of Jannah coming from Uhud." So he ran towards the battle or to the enemy, and he was killed in this way. And we talk about how his sister was the only one to recognize him, and that was because of the fingertips. She looked at his fingers and she saw some marks, or she recognized his hand. Okay, and this is one thing that the people back then were very observant. They were able to spot out things and see things, and the farasa and that kind of stuff. They're not, you know, busy with computer games and that kind of stuff, that, or WhatsApp like we are. So they would pay attention to detail. So the sister was able to recognize the brother from his fingers. Another Sahabi we talked about, his name was Amr ibn Thabit radhiyallahu anhu. His nickname is Usayrim, and he's known to be the only Sahabi to ever die without praying one salah. He did not pray one salah, and he became Muslim that morning of Uhud, and there was no salah fard upon him. So he passed away. He was killed in that battle, and he did not pray one salah but he is from the people of Jannah. Also, Ziyad ibn Sukhun, radiallahu anh, he is one of those who was, he died protecting the Prophet ﷺ when there was only a few Sahaba surrounding the Prophet ﷺ defending him. He was one of those, and he actually died in the lap of the Prophet ﷺ. Ziyad ibn Sukhun, radiallahu anh. So he was one of those, he died protecting the Prophet ﷺ. Another Sahabi by the name of Hanzala ibn Abi Amir, radiallahu anh, and we talked about his nickname. Anyway, remember what was his nickname? Barakallahu, yes. Ghasil al-Malaika, he was the one that was washed by the angels. So we talked about how the story, who was his father-in-law? Abdullah ibn Ubay. Okay, the leader of Ra'is al-Munafiqeen, the leader of the Munafiqeen, Abdullah ibn Ubay, that was his father-in-law. He married the daughter of Abdullah ibn Ubay, her name was Jamila. Jamila radiallahu anha, she was a sahabiyah, she was a devout Muslim, and he was the one, he got married the night before. Okay, and his father is Abu Amir, he was also from the Ansar, but then when the Prophet moved to Medina, he left. He went to settled in Mecca, and he was a kafir, and he was the one who we talked about at the beginning of the battle. He came out and he was trying to get the Ansar to leave the Prophet ﷺ, thinking that I'm an old leader of them and they're going to, out of respect to me, they'll do that. But they instead called him, instead of al-Rahib, the monk, they started calling him al-Fasiq. They said, get away from us, you Fasiq, you evil man, and we're not going to listen to you. So he was really surprised to see that. So that was Abu Amr, the father. But Hanzala Radhan, Ghasil al-Malaika, his father-in-law was Abdullah ibn Ubay. Of Hanzala? Hanzala ibn Abi Amir. Abu Amir was the father. And, okay, we'll talk about that later, inshallah. One thing I want to mention about him. Also, Amr ibn al-Jamuh. So, Amr ibn al-Jamuh, radiallahu anh, he was one of those who also killed. He tried to convince Abdullah ibn Ubay and the Munafiqeen to turn around and come join the Prophet ﷺ when they were leaving. When the morning of the battle, when they were leaving, tried to convince them, but they didn't listen, and he was also killed in that battle. Now, one thing about Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Haram, this is the father of Jabir ibn Abdullah, and we talked about him, how he also passed away in the battle of Uhud, and we talked about how the advice that he knew that he's going to die, and he said to his son the night before, he talked to him and gave him some wasiyah. And we talked about how the angels shaded the body until he was buried as an honor for him. Also, we talked about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Abdullah. So Abdullah radhiallahu anhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him without any hijab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him directly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him that, what do you want? Ask something and you will get it. And he asked that, can I be sent back to the dunya so I can die as a shaheed again? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that cannot happen. And he said, okay, at least let them know what happened to me. Let them know of my situation. And then the ayat revealed about the shuhada that they are with Allah, they are alive, and they're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yurzaqoon. Also, okay, that's something else. So we'll talk about that some other time, inshallah. Okay, so going on, okay, another of the Sahabi that died in the Battle of Uhud was Yaman, the father of Hudhayfa radhiallahu anhu. I'm not sure if I mentioned this or not, but he and another Sahabi were asked to take care of the women, to basically watch over the women, make sure no one comes and attacks while the Muslims are on the battlefield. You know, someone comes and attacks the women. So they were appointed as caretakers of the women. And Yaman Radhan, the father of Hudhayfa Radhan ibn Yaman Radhan. So they were doing this, and while they were there, the Munafiqeen started making fun of them. They said, what are you guys doing here? Look at you guys, you know, you're staying here when the Prophet is on the battlefield, he's fighting. And they felt this anger that, you know, why are they saying these kind of things? And they felt that, you know, the Prophet needs us. So they actually left. They went to the battlefield to help the Muslims. But when they got to the battlefield, this is when the chaos had already started. And when when they got in the middle, or the Yaman or the Ilan got stuck in the middle, and he was killed not by the Kufar but by the Muslims. The Muslims accidentally killed the father of Hudhayfa radhiyallahu anhu, thinking that he's the enemy, and in the confusion, they killed him. So this, he was accidentally killed by the Muslims. And later on, the Muslims, when they found out what they had done, they were really remorseful and they were ashamed that they had accidentally killed him. And they said, you know, we swear we could not recognize him. We didn't know that he was your father. And Hudhayfa radhiyallahu anhu was offered the blood money for his father, and he first he refused, and then later on he took it. Prophet ﷺ said, take it, and he took it and he gave it away as sadaqah. Also another sahabi, Sa'ad ibn Rabi' al-Khazraji radhiyallahu anhu, and this is one of the nuqaba of Bay'atul Aqaba. So he was one of the Ansar that had gone to Bay'atul Aqaba before the Hijrah, in the time of Musim al-Hajj, and he did Bay'ah to the Prophet ﷺ. And when the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba came to Medina Munawwara, he was, you know, the mu'ahad, the brotherhood was made between the Muslims, and the Ansar of the Muslims and the Muhajirin of the Muslims. So he was from the Ansar, and the Muhajir that was made his brother, anybody know his name? Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Okay, Abdurrahman ibn Auf radhiyallahu anhu was made his brother, a brother of Sa'ad ibn Rabi' radhiyallahu anhu. And the famous story, I'm sure you've all heard about this. Sa'ad radhiyallahu anhu offered, he said that I have my wealth, take half of it. He said, basically, I'm going to split my wealth in half, take it. And he said, I have two wives, I will divorce one of them and you can marry one of them. So this is the, you know, the step that he took, like he wanted to welcome his brother and how much they were willing to sacrifice for each other. So the Abdurrahman ibn Auf radhiyallahu anhu, it's in the narration that he said to him that barakallahu lak fi ahlik wa malik. He said that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you barakah in your wealth and in your family. But he said, walakin dullani ala suq, tell me where the marketplace is. And then he went to the marketplace and he started trading, started doing business. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put so much business barakah in his business. He started, you know, making a lot of money within a few days and weeks. So this is Sa'd ibn Rabi radhiyallahu anhu, the brother of Abdurrahman ibn Auf radhiyallahu anhu. So he was also one of the shuhada. And after the battle, when the Prophet ﷺ was checking the shuhada, checking who's still alive and who's dead, and checking their bodies, he did not find Sa'd radhiyallahu anhu. So he actually asked, he said that, who will go out to check on Sa'd? Go and check where is Sa'd and how is he doing? So one of the Sahaba got up, he said, I will go check. And he said he found him while he was in his last breaths. He was taking his last breaths and he was obviously injured and he was bleeding out and he was taking his last breaths. So this Sahabi went up to him and he said, Ya Sa'd, inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amarani an anzura fil ahya anta am fil amwat. So the Prophet has told me, has commanded me to go and check if you're alive or from amongst the dead. And he says, Sa'd then responds by saying, fa inni min al amwat. He said, I am from the dead. Meaning, I feel like I'm going to die soon. And again, he was so injured so much, he was just taking his last breaths. So then he says to the Sahabi that had come to search for him, فَأَبْلِغْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ السَّلَامُ. He says, tell the Prophet ﷺ salam for me. Give him my salam. وَقُلْ, and say to him, إِنَّ سَعْدًا يَقُولُ, and tell the Prophet ﷺ that Sa'd says, جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ عَنِّي خَيْرَ مَا جَزَى نَبِيًّا عَنْ أُمَّتِهِ. Tell the Prophet ﷺ that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the best reward, that Allah, even better reward that any Nabi has been given from his Ummah. Meaning that give you immense reward for everything that you have done for us. And then he goes on to say, and tell my people, meaning tell the people of Ansar, wa abli qawmik, go and tell the Ansar, go tell the people of Ansar, minni as-salam, go tell them, give them my salam, wa qul lahum, and say to them, inna sa'dan yaqul, that Sa'd says to you, lakum, innahu la udhra lakum inda Allah in khullisa ila nabiyyikum sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa minkum aynun tatruf. He says that there is no excuse. Tell my people, tell the Ansar, that there is no excuse if the enemy is able to reach the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you have still one eye that is blinking. Meaning that if you are still alive, And the Prophet ﷺ, like, you didn't give up your life and you didn't protect the Prophet ﷺ with your lives. And they get to, they reach the Prophet ﷺ and they hurt or they kill the Prophet ﷺ. There is no other for you. There is no excuse for you. So he's basically telling them that protect the Prophet ﷺ with your lives. So this is Sa'd ibn Rabi radhiallahu anhu. Now, one thing we know, we talked about the mutilation of the shuhada. We talked about that, and we know that the Prophet ﷺ, after the battle, when he had gone to the scene of the battle and saw the Sahaba and saw what they had done to them. Now, when we talk about how they would cut the nose, the lips, the ears, and the fingers, and they would put it on like a string, and they would wear it as like a trophy of the battle. So they had done this, and the Prophet ﷺ was very angered and saddened by this, especially when he saw his uncle in this state. And in Tafsir al-Baghawi, rahimahullah, he says that the Prophet ﷺ, first he says that none of the Sahaba were left untouched except for one Sahabi by the name of Hanzala ibn Abi Amir, rather than the one we talked about earlier. He was the only one that they did not mutilate. And the reason they did that, they left him, is because his father was with the enemy, was with the Quraysh, and out of honor for the father, they left his body alone. So that was the only one that was not mutilated, but everyone else was mutilated. And the Prophet ﷺ, Tafsir al-Baghawi, rahimahullah, he says that the Prophet ﷺ was told, he saw the waist or the abdomen of Hamza radhiallahu anhu cut open, and he saw the piece of the liver sitting there. So he was told that this is what happened, that she tried to bite it and she spit it out, spit out the liver. And the Prophet, when he heard this, he says, Ama innaha law akalatu. So if she had actually eaten it, if she had swallowed the liver, lam tadkhul an-nar abada, she would never enter the fire ever. Meaning from that, even though the Prophet at that point, he didn't know that she's going to become Muslim later on, but he said basically her body would have been protected from that day, even if she was not, like, she would basically be given tawfiq to become Muslim, and she would be protected from the fire. So Hamza akrama ala Allah ta'ala min an yadkhula shay'an min jasadi an-nar. So Hamza radhiallahu anhu is so honored in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that any piece of his body would enter into the hellfire. Now also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a weak hadith, the ulama say this hadith is weak, but that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in anger after seeing his uncle, he said that if I am given victory over the kuffar, I will do what they did to my uncle, mutilate their bodies, mutilate 70 of the enemy. So for his uncle, I will mutilate 70 of the kuffar. So this is related, it's a da'if hadith, but it is related. And then from that, regardless if that was the reason, or the Sahaba, we know for sure the Sahaba, they had made a vow. They said that because of what they did to us, we will mutilate them. We'll mutilate their bodies after we have gained defeat or victory over them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah of 126 of Surah An-Nahl, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, in aqabtum fa'aqibu bimithli ma'uqibtum bih. That if you retaliate, then do the same retaliation that has been done to you. That don't do multiple, don't go overboard, don't do more than what they have done to you. وَلَئِن صَبَرْتُمْ, but if you have patience, لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ, so that is better for those who have patience. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed at that time. And then later after that, it was completely barred. It was banned, meaning mutilation was banned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is Samura ibn Jundub radhan. He says in the hadith, كان نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يحثنا على الصدقة وينهانا عن المثلة. The Prophet ﷺ would encourage us to give sadaqah, to give alms and give sadaqah, charity. وينهانا عن المثلة. And he would stop us and prohibit us from doing muthla, from mutilating the dead of our enemy. And this shows, you know, the justice of Islam, that the rights of even the dead, of your enemy, the ones that were just trying to kill you, no matter what their crimes were, whatever they did to you, if you defeat them, if you kill them, if you get victory over them, you're not supposed to mutilate their bodies. You're not supposed to dishonor the dead bodies. This is from the Justice of Islam, and we know that, you know, the for example, in Afghanistan, there was many reports of the U.S. Army urinating over the dead bodies of the Afghan soldiers. They're cutting off fingers. There was reports cutting off fingers of the dead bodies and keeping them as trophies, just like the kuffar did in the past, where they would do tamthil, and they would do the same thing. They would do the musla, and they would cut off the fingers, and they kept these as trophies. Even recently in Ukraine, you see that the Russian soldiers are made into like a Z format, and they're saying that this is some special Nazi group or something, that they do this, and they're, I don't know, Allah alam, but they're doing that to the dead. Anyway, so this is from the Justice of Islam, that even your enemy, you do not mutilate the body of your enemy. Now, after the Prophet ﷺ, they were shrouding the bodies and they were getting ready to bury them. The Prophet ﷺ, and while the Prophet ﷺ was seeing them and seeing their state, he said that, "Ashhadu ala ha'ula," that I bear witness on these the shuhada, that I myself am a witness to them, that they died for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا مِنْ مَجُرِحٍ جُرِحَ فِي اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِلَّا بَعَثَهُ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَجَرْحُهُ يُدْمِي. That there is no person that is wounded in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except on the Day of Judgment, they will come with their wound and the blood will be flowing. So the Prophet ﷺ was telling the Sahaba about the merits of Shahada and merits of being injured in the sake of, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-lawnu lawnu dam. And this blood that would be coming out of their bodies on the Day of Judgment will be the red color of blood. Wa rih al-misk. But the smell of that blood will be the smell of misk, from of musk. Unzuru aktharahum jam'an lil Quran. So the Prophet ﷺ then gave instructions. He said, look at those. So in another hadith, they would be buried, for example, they didn't have enough clothing. So we talked about how Mus'ab ibn Umayr radhan, they would cover his face, his feet would become uncovered. And when they would cover his face would be uncovered. So they put some leaves on his feet and they covered his face with the cloth and they buried him like that. So they didn't have enough even shroud. That's how poor the Muslims were, that they didn't have enough kafan to bury the shuhada. So they, the Sahaba were buried in this way, and some of them were buried in one cloth. They would be put together in a cloth, and the Prophet ﷺ would say that look at those who have more Quran memorized from the Sahaba, and the one that had more Quran, they were honored by being the first to put into the lahad. So you have the qabr, and then your lahad is the side, they dig a hole and they put the body inside the lahad. So the Prophet ﷺ would put the one who knew more Quran first and into that grave. Now, one of the things I do want to mention, inshallah, is the status of the shahada and the wishing for the death of a shaheed. So this is something that the Prophet ﷺ has taught all of us, and the Prophet ﷺ says in one of the hadith, "Man sa'ala Allah ash-shahada," that someone who asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a shahada bisidq, with truthfulness, meaning with sincerity from their heart. So the one who wants to be a shaheed with their heart, ballaghahu Allah manazil ash-shuhada wa in mata ala firashi, aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that even if a person dies on their bed, okay, without fighting or anything, they die in their bed, but they had a sincere wish to become a shaheed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the rank of a shaheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the rank of the shaheed. So this is something that we should all have tamanna, and we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a death of a shaheed. And also another hadith, Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu, he relates that the Prophet ﷺ said, and this is in Sahih Bukhari, that وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي, that I swear by the one who in whose hand my soul is. I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَوَدِدْتُ أَنِّي أُقْتَلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أُحْيَى. The Prophet ﷺ says, I swear by Allah, I wish that I'm killed in the path of Allah, I'm killed as I'm a shaheed, and then I'm given life again. ثُمَّ أُقْتَلْ ثُمَّ أُحْيَى. So then I am killed again, and then I'm giving life again. ثُمَّ أُقْتَلْ ثُمَّ أُحْيَى. And then again, I'm killed, and then I'm given life again. ثُمَّ أُقْتَلْ, and then I'm killed again. So the Prophet ﷺ says this three times, but we know, again, if the Sahaba or if the Prophet ﷺ had a choice, they would go on millions and billions of times with that same choice again and again. So the Prophet ﷺ says, showing us the importance of wanting to be a shaheed, that he would love to be brought back to life and then killed as a shaheed again and again. And we know the dua of Umar bin Khattab radhiallahu anhu. This is related by Hafsa radhiallahu anha, the daughter of Umar bin Khattab radhiallahu anhu. She says that my father would say, Umar radhiallahu anhu would say, Allahumma rizqni shahadatan fi sabilik, waj'al mawti fi baladi rasulik, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Umar radhiallahu anhu would constantly make this dua, especially this is when he was during his time of Khilafah. He would make dua constantly saying, Oh Allah, give me the shahada in your path, make me a shaheed, and make my death in the city of your Prophet. So he would make this dua constantly, and she asked him one time, she said, Anna yakuna hadha, you know, how is that possible that you're going to be in the city of the Prophet and you're going to be a shaheed? How is that going to be possible? Because to be a shaheed, you have to be fighting in the pathway, you have to be killed by a kafir. So how is that possible? And Umar would say, Ya'teeni bihi Allah, inshaAllah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring, if He wants, He will make this happen. And we know that Umar was given that dua, was accepted, and he was killed while praying Fajr prayer, or he was stabbed while making Fajr prayer by an enemy of Islam, and then he was shaheed from that a few days later from those same wounds. Also, there's a difference of opinion on shuhada, if the Prophet ﷺ prayed upon them or not. And in Sahih Bukhari, there is a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ is reported Jabir ibn Abdullah radhiallahu anhu, again Jabir radhiallahu anhu being one of those who were there because his father was one of the shuhada, and he says that wa amara bi dafnihim bi dama'ihim, the Prophet ﷺ ordered that the shuhada are not washed, that they are buried as is with the blood stains, with the blood, they're not washed, so they were buried like that. Walam yusalla alayhim, and it was they did that the Prophet ﷺ did not pray upon them. There was no janazah prayer for the shuhada. Walam yughsalu, and they were not washed. So this is Jabir ibn Abdullah radhiallahu anhu in Sahih Bukhari that they was not prayed upon them. And the reason for this confusion is that there's a hadith Imam Ahmad rahimahullah narrates. And I'll end with this, inshallah. That Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, he says that وَجَمْعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أَصْحَابَ بَعْدَ دَفْنِ الشُّهَدَى. So this is after the burial. So بَعْدَ دَفْنِ الشُّهَدَى, after the burial of the martyrs, the Prophet ﷺ gathered Sahaba. فَقَالَ اسْتَوُوا حَتَّى أُثْنِيَ عَلَى رَبِّي عَزَّ وَالْجَلَّ. He said, stand in a complete row, in a straight line. So he had the Sahaba stand up in straight lines. So that's where the confusion comes, that some people thought that this means he did janazah, but it's actually after the dafn, after the burial of the shahada. So they stood up in straight lines, and the Prophet ﷺ said, he made this beautiful dua, and I'll just read the dua inshallah. Allahumma lakal hamd kullah, Allahumma la qabida lima basat, wa la basita lima qabad, wa la hadiya liman adlalt, wa la mudilla liman hadait, excuse me, wa la mu'tiya lima manat, ولا مانع لما أعطيت ولا مقرب لما بعدت ولا مبعد لما قربت اللهم أبسط علينا من بركاتك ورحمتك وفضلك ورزقك اللهم إني أسألك النعيم المقيم الذي لا يحول ولا يزول اللهم إني أسألك العون يوم العيلة والأمن يوم الخوف واللهم إني عائذ بك من شر ما أعطيتنا وشر ما منعتنا اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم توفنا مسلمين وأحينا مسلمين وألحقنا بالصالحين غير خزايا ولا مفتونين اللهم قاتل الكفرة الذين يكذبون رسلك ويصدون عن سبيلك واجعل عليهم رجزك وعذابك اللهم قاتل الكفرة الذين أوتوا الكتاب إلى إله الحق. So this is Al Qamaqa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is a dua, beautiful dua of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If anybody wants the English translation of this, inshallah, I can send it. But it's a very beautiful dua. Again, the meaning is beautiful, the words are beautiful, and this is something general dua that we can, inshallah, even incorporate into our daily duas. So we should try to do that, inshallah. So we'll stop there, inshallah. Next week, we'll go over the return to Medina. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he went back to Medina, his stop in Masjid Mustarah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about after he went back and what happened, the events that happened after he had returned to Medina Munawwara, inshallah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.